Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey everyone, Dr. Tom here, and welcome to episode 6 of The Positivity Effect. We have on an awesome guest for you today, but before we dive into the call, if you love what you're hearing, please check out positivityeffect.com, where you can catch all the episodes, the show notes, as well as subscribe to my newsletter. Please write to me and share a story of something that you're grateful for in your life. I'm going to pick one listener's inspiring story every week to share on the Sunday Fireside Chat. So write to me. Let me know what you think. And, you know, I just love to hear from you guys and get to know you. In addition to finding the show at our website, if you like, you can subscribe to the show at iTunes. Just search Positivity Effect, hit the subscribe button, and you'll never miss an episode. So I'm super pumped about this week's show. We have on Michael O'Neill. He hosts a podcast called Solopreneur Hour. You can check that out at www.solohour.com. He also has a business coaching program called Solo Lab, which can be found at his website by clicking on the tab Join Solo Lab. In this interview, he talks about an incredible story of someone that he helped through the Solo Lab, so stay tuned. Mike is just an awesome dude, and I'm so excited to share this interview. He takes us through his journey of how and why he started the Solopreneur Hour. We talk about the benefits of having a positive outlook on life. You know, we just talk about so many awesome things, but I really want you to pay attention to when Mike brings up the word contrast and his story about how Hurricane Katrina really put his life in perspective for him. So without further ado, let's jump into another episode of The Positivity Effect. Michael, are you ready to spread some positivity?
I am ready. What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc? Thanks,
how's it going?
Man. Thanks for jumping on. Love to have you here.
Yeah, that's really, it's good to be here, man. I'm curious how you guys are doing up there in the Northeast. So what's the weather like right now? Is it changing? You got leaves?
We got some leaves. You know, it's a little chilly, but it feels good. It's crisp.
It's like 85 here in San Diego today. So
that's amazing.
It's what it is. It's what, you know, that means the weatherman actually had to do something today and versus just pointing at the map and saying it's 75 again.
Not 75 and partly cloudy?
That's it. Never, rarely cloudy.
Really? They don't even say that?
No, just 75.
That's amazing.
It's the most boring weather job in the country, I think.
That's awesome. So, Mike, tell us how the Solopreneur Hour was formed.
Well, I thought when I decided to start a show, which was August of 2013, that's when I launched it. I decided months earlier that there was a lot of these sort of you know, step one, step two, step three, actionable content kind of business podcasts out there. And I'd had lunch with a dude named Pat Flynn, if your audience knows him. He runs a company called Smart Passive Income, which is like one of the bigger online business kind of training portals, if you will, on the web. And Pat is a really nice dude, also happens to live in San Diego. And he and I were having lunch one day and just having a great conversation like just a couple of friends do, and you know, right, at a pizza place. And when we left there, he was like, dude, I never get to do that. Thank you. Like every time I have to have a conversation, it's always about SPI, which is Smart Passive Income. And he goes, so it was so refreshing to just be able to talk about life and our, you know, our girlfriends or wives and cars and men's fashion and whatever else we talked about for 2 hours. And so when he left, I said, that would be kind of a cool idea for a show. Like, what if I brought all these people on that people knew, but we kind of intentionally didn't talk about their business? Like, I talked about everything but and kind of went around.
Right.
But at the same time, while we're having these conversations, these great nuggets of, you know, knowledge and business are coming out. And people really seem to dig the show. It feels like it really has an open format where we're just having a conversation. I'm kind of gently steering the ship behind the scenes, but my primary goal is to make it entertaining for an hour, and hopefully on the backside of that entertainment, people learn a few things. And I think experiential learning is the best way for people to actually integrate something into their mind, in their brain. So that's that. So far, that has worked well for the show.
That's awesome. And Mike, I can hear it in your voice. You know, we've only been talking a couple of minutes, and, you know, humor, positivity, that's really, it's part of who you are. It's in, you know, it's in your fiber. So, you know, we are here to talk about positivity today and get people thinking. So let me kick it off by asking you, in your opinion, what is the benefit of having an overall positive outlook in life over a negative one?
I think that it physically changes you. I'm recently sort of new to the dating circuit. Maybe that's TMI, I don't know, but but I'm so used to surrounding myself with these like uber positive people, right? That are building businesses and they're living the lives they want to live and they have time freedom and financial freedom. And it's just, you sort of around these people and you go, wow, what, this is so, well, it's become my new normal, right? So now that I'm venturing out into the wild, wild west of dating and I'm meeting people that aren't in that group,
right,
I see this contrast. And sometimes it takes a physical manifestation. Like they're not as attractive physically as they would be with a positive attitude. And I think we run into these people that have a lot of like their default to establish rapport with someone is to complain about something. And so I said, all right, if that's the case, and I of course I noticed that right away on someone, but what if they could challenge themselves like 1 month of no complaining, no blaming anybody else for anything? Like what would happen to their lives if that's all they did? Maybe it's a week. Start with a week, right? And
right.
And people will be like, have you lost weight? Or like, what has happened to you? And that's a thing that happens when you have this really positive outlook versus this kind of like, ugh, this traffic stinks. And, you know, and it's just how you frame things, right? This is all about framing.
Right.
Happiness is, you know, happiness is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. So it's like a negative person might be like, oh, this stinks. I'm sitting in traffic for hours. Whereas a positive person might be like, oh, this is cool. I can finally finish that audiobook that I've been trying to finish or get some focused dictation done on my new book or whatever. Like they can find that really great outcome of whatever the situation is.
So it's literally, guys, like anything that happens to you, good or bad, it's really what are you doing in your mind and how are you responding to it? And you could flip the script. It could become, you can grow from it, or you can ultimately, it could, you know, really ruin you depending on how you're looking at it.
Right. And I think people need to, all they need to understand is contrast. Just the word contrast. And this is what I mean by that. So when you have something bad that's happening in your life, it's really, really easy. In fact, it's the default to compare up, to go, oh, well, I'm not as, you know, pretty as Jennifer or as skinny, or I don't have as much money as Bob does, or, you know, whatever it is. I don't have that new thing. I didn't get to go on that vacation. Like if you ever hear yourself uttering the words must be nice, then you don't have a full grasp of contrast. You don't get that. And so what I mean by that is, what you want to do is, instead of, like when I was at my lowest point, it happened that Hurricane Katrina had hit New Orleans. And at the time, I had just lost both my parents. They'd passed away. I'd lost all of my money, like my 401k, like everything. My house got foreclosed on.
Wow.
I lost two cars. Like it was just miserable in my life. And I remember just feeling so sorry for myself. Then Hurricane Katrina hits. And I remember watching this news footage, like on CNN, and I'm watching this 9-year-old kid, and he's standing on the roof of what was his house, and everybody in his family had died, and he was uneducated, and had, you know, he was an orphan now. So now he's this uneducated, orphaned 9-year-old kid in a super poor area that had a really, really grim outlook on probably the rest of his life. And so I was able to look at that and say, all right, you know what? Despite all of the other bad stuff that's happening, I'm healthy. I live in America where there's opportunity. I have certain skill sets. I just have things going for me that not everybody has. And so I have to just accept those things and take inventory of what's great or at least what's good in my life and latch onto those instead of kind of the bad stuff that's happening. And that, I'll tell you what, man, that wow. made me like pick myself up by my bootstraps and plod forward. That just that one thing. I've told that example 50 times, but that is the one thing, like seeing that I'm seeing in my face, my head right now, the image of that kid standing on the roof. And that kid has, I don't know where he is today, but he has helped me my whole life.
That's incredible, Mike. And thank you so much for sharing that story, man.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's what we do.
It's incredible.
We share stories. People learn from stories. They don't learn from data points.
So true. And it really is how you frame it. You know, for example, we should stop and think, I have access to free education to better myself. But we often think, I don't have time to listen to an audiobook or a podcast. Most likely, though, including myself, you know, we spend a half hour to an hour in a car every day. And you alluded to it earlier, Mike, we can use this time to educate ourselves. And we're so lucky to have these resources at our fingertips. And, you know, speaking of that 9-year-old whose life was completely, utterly flipped upside down, you know, you never know what someone else is going through. We could be driving in our car frustrated with traffic, or we can think about how many things we're grateful for.
There's always someone that has it worse, no matter what.
Yes.
Always. So compare down, don't compare up.
So, Mike, it's so true that, you know, we become who we are because we're standing on the shoulder of giants. I'm sure you can attest to that. Tell us about a positive individual who was or still is a mentor in your life.
Well, let's see. I have a few, but I would say that I'm pretty close friends with, I shouldn't say pretty, I'm very close friends with John Lee Dumas. He's a good buddy. And it's when you're just even around someone that has that kind of motor, it's really, really inspirational. Whenever I see somebody trying to like duplicate what he does, I kind of feel sorry for him. I'm like, you're not going to do that. That's not, you got to find your own path because he's such a unique dude. He's so uniquely motivated and skilled. Right. I mean, I would say that he's probably the, you know, just by proxy is really a great influence for me. Most of my influence, oddly, doesn't come from the online business world. It comes from comedy. I'm a huge comedy nerd. So I study comedy. I study public speaking. I study the art of the interview. It's one of my real passions. So I would say if I were being mentored, at least in the way that you're suggesting, Sam Jones, Off Camera with Sam Jones is a show that I listen to, or Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. Like those two shows for me, when I think about growing my interview chops and really digging deep into a guest to try to pull out the essence of who they are, I listen to those shows and I'm like furiously typing into my Evernote with inspiration from those shows. So I would say that even though it's not like a paid formal mentorship, I get a ton from those things.
So it's almost like a virtual or a silent mentorship.
They don't know better. They don't know that they're doing that for me. So it's costing me anything, which is fantastic.
How did you get up into the comedy stuff?
I don't know. I've been a fan. I mean, I have a comic brain, and I've been a fan of comedy literally my whole life, like listening to Richard Pryor live on the Sunset Strip in the 80s and Steve Martin and stuff like that. I mean, all the old school stuff. And I suppose I had like a brief sort of gap between like the 80s and then, you know, late 90s maybe. And then I really picked it up again in late 90s. And I've been just a super comedy nerd ever since. So there's some routines I could literally do verbatim with inflection. But more importantly, I can see the structure behind the show, if you will. Like I can watch a guy like Louis C.K. and see him apparently struggle on stage, but realize that that's the energy he brings to every single show. And I know that he's not actually struggling, and he knows exactly what word goes where and how to deliver it, what the timing is like, because that's what they do. They want you to feel like every single time it's the first time they've ever thought of this. It's off the cuff, and that's what's great about it.
That's incredible. I never even thought about that because I love Louis C.K. and to fact, you know, that he's actually that's been engineered for the audience to kind of feel that it's a first
time.
Yeah,
in fact, I don't even know if I can. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time by a guy who's not getting good headlines right now. Bill Cosby is Billy Crystal had gotten some advice about stand up from Bill Cosby, and Bill Cosby said, "Never let him see you work." And what that means is, you want it to feel one off and authentic. You don't want the audience to know that there's structure underneath it. And if you looked at, like, if you listen to my show, you'll go, oh, this is just a random conversation. But you don't realize that I have a total, like, I could almost overlay a plan underneath every single show. And it would be within a couple of minutes each. Like, you'd see that there's actually a structure there. But hopefully, if I'm doing my job right, the audience doesn't feel that. You know, and that includes reading, like, live ads and stuff on the show.
Wow. It's like a master plan.
That's never let them see you work, man. That's the thing. But let's go back to positivity. I'm a master of taking people off subject on their shows. So let's go.
So, Mike, would you say for someone that needs to make a change in their life, you know, and they do, and they make these little adjustments, but then they slip back, you know, and when that happens, it could be so easy to be hard on yourself. How important is it to just be kind to yourself during this process when you're trying to really make some big change in your life?
Well, you know, you've heard that quote by Jim Rohn, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. I mean, that's a...
Yes, yes.
That's one that we hear all the time. And I don't think there's anything truer. I really feel like those close people in your lives... In fact, one of my dates the other day, the one I was talking about that was a little bit negative, was just telling about her friends that were so negative. And I was like, you gotta eject. Like, you've got to cleanse those friends. But what people don't realize is you are one of the five. So your inner voice, your inner monologue is one of those five people. So unless that monologue is supportive and encouraging, if you have this, you know, we call it the imposter. If you have imposter syndrome where you're going through something, you really want to accomplish it, but you're like, oh, you'll never be able to do this, or... You know, you're not smart enough to do this, or you don't have enough money, or you're too fat, or whatever it is. We're so brutal with ourselves in our brains, right? That you will really have a hard time accomplishing our goals. So that's why I like to rewind back to that original thing, which is compare down and find, you know, keep those two things. If there's only two things you learn in this whole episode, it's compare down and then your life. Well, I guess you are 100% responsible for your own happiness. It's not anybody else's responsibility. And life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what you do with it and how you respond to it. So if you start taking responsibility for your own happiness, you will be amazed at what your life does. So when you're getting down and you have that negative view of yourself, just remind yourself, oh, wait a second. This is my gig. Like, I can't... There's no lottery ticket that says you're going to be super happy now without your input. You have to do it yourself. So I think once people know that and then they kind of work the muscle of finding the good in every situation, which I'm having to do now. I'm going through a pretty hard thing. I have a sick dog and it's hard to find the positive, you know? And I hopefully I'll look back in a few years and go, yeah, this is what I learned from this thing. But when you're in the middle of something that, you know, crucial in your life, it's sometimes really hard, you know? And I'm having to do that right now. I'm having to really stop and be conscious of the good things that could be happening right now.
Yeah. And guys, you know, we're here, we're talking about positivity, you know, and shifting our minds and looking for the greater in things that happen to us, good or bad. And, you know, we're not saying that when something good or something bad happens to us that we're going to go running out and we're going to be have smiles on our faces,
right?
And it's just all
not
rainbows.
Not tiptoe through the tulips. It's not
yes,
how that works.
Yeah, but that we're here to learn. We're here to learn from our experience. And
Think of it this way. Sorry to interrupt. That's what I do. Think of it this way. If you were an orthopedic surgeon, right, and you broke your arm, so you broke the fibula, and
fibula.
That's leg, right? What's the one in the arm? So you've got, anyway, doesn't matter.
Elbow bone.
Yeah. Let's say you break one of those two bones that are in your forearm, right? Now, this guy could look down at that bone, and just because he's an orthopedic surgeon doesn't mean it's going to heal faster. He just knows what's happening. Like, he's conscious of the process. So this is just to reinforce the point you just made, which is it's not always tiptoe through the tulips. It's sometimes you just have to be conscious of the process. You can be sad. You can be in crisis. You can lose money or lose your house or your relationship goes away or somebody passes away or whatever. That just knowing, like, okay, I'm in the middle of this now. This is happening. But being able to step a little bit away and look at it from like a 20,000 foot view and say, okay, here's what I know about this situation. I'm broken. Like, let's say I'm brokenhearted right now, but I've been brokenhearted before and other people have been brokenhearted before. I know that time will heal this. I know that I will eventually not feel as raw as I do now. So that's the consciousness of the situation. So when you know that, you go, okay. And that means that when you're in that situation, you can sort of maybe not embrace it, but not exactly be like, oh, why me? And I'll never love again, right? That's not, you can do that. And that's where poetry and rock songs are made. But after that, you have to sort of, you know, get it together and go, okay, now I gotta step into this a little bit and be conscious that I will heal from this. I will be strong. Let me see if I can pull out some of the cool positive things that are happening right now.
That's awesome. Mike, what would you say to someone, if maybe it's someone you know, or for people out there that are recently positive, maybe they're trying to help and mentor someone now, to the person that, you know, they just, that's it, like the sky is always falling. What about that person?
Well, I would say the best thing to do, especially if somebody's depressed, by the way, like if you feel depressed yourself, one of the best things you can do to get out of your depression is go help somebody else. It is absolutely proven time after time after time. Like if you're feeling miserable, go volunteer at the homeless shelter. And then you're going to, I swear, you will feel better about yourself. You're going to go, oh, you know why? Because you're one-to-one with compare down. Like you're there, like you see it. You know, when someone is always negative, there's at some point, you know, you kind of go, this is above my pay grade. Like if someone's negative beyond reason, if they're not actually reasonable about what they are, if you're like, if they're like, oh my God, I'll never wear a blue shirt again. And you're like, here's a blue shirt. You can wear it. They're like, oh, I can't wear it. Okay. Then there's nothing I can do for you at this point. You're going to have to just deal and sort of wallow. And then they have to find their own way in some way.
Right.
And you can say that. You can say, look, I know how to help you. I've been through this myself. I've been around a lot of people that have done this. I can legitimately help you. You have to ask yourself right now, if you are happy where you are, then that's okay. And we can be friends and you can do what you do and that's cool. If you're not happy where you are and you are coachable, if you're open to me helping you, I can show you how to do that. And so you can, you know, give it a day. You can decide if you want to or not. And it's okay. Like no harm, no foul if you don't want that. But what I won't do is just sort of pour my energy and love and caring into this bottomless pit of despair because it's not going to serve either of us.
Right. And, you know, I'm a true believer of, like, maybe it's a little esoteric, it's out there, but, you know, there's really energy that comes out from us, you know, that we're putting out and people are kind of picking up on this energy. You know, and sure. I really like those guys over at HeartMath. It's some incredible stuff that they're doing. And Mike, what would you say to just for people that they need a little more encouragement to be more positive in their lives? You know, that once you are at that level, when you walk into a room and you have that energy that you're just, you know, you're loving life, you know, you're learning from your experiences. Talk about that, how people just pick up on that.
Yeah, I mean, a smile goes a long way. It really does. I mean, it's when you meet somebody and they shake your hand with a bright smile and they're looking you right in the eyes, innately you say, I like this person. Like they have to somehow do something to get you to not like them at that point. And the opposite is also true. When someone's just like, what's up? And they, you know, they're kind of looking away as they shake your hands. You inherently don't like them. And it takes a lot longer for them to prove to you why you should like them. So just walking into a room and being positive and being like, hey, it's good to see you. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's one of those things where you want to leave people with, man, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but that guy was really a nice guy. That's kind of what the impression you want. You know, there's a guy, there's a sports bar right by my house that I went to a couple days ago. And door bouncers are always these like monotone. They're not exactly wordsmiths, right? They don't, you know, they're just grunting. They grunt you into the place and that's it. And this other guy hey, how you doing? Oh, is that your dog? Let me get you a bowl of water, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you guys have a great day. Like, it stuck out for me. It stuck out not only at that place, but it has stuck out with all of the other bars and restaurants maybe that I've ever been in. I remember this guy just because of that attitude. I don't know his name, but I remember him. And I remember thinking, if I, you know, for whatever reason, if someone said, hey, Michael, do you want to, let's go start a vodka bar, I would say, that'd be great. And I would go right up to that guy and I'd say, you're my head guy. You're going to be in charge. And I want you to hire people that are in your own, vein, like that are positive and happy like you are. So, So that's the kind of thing, like people recognize that from sort of outside, and, It can be a really big influence in terms of opportunities in your life.
And would you say on the flip side too, you know, when someone is just dragging themselves through life, when they walk into that room, that effect that it can have on people?
Well, one of the greatest managers I ever had said, you can teach someone anything. You hire people and personalities. So when think about that, like in terms of your life and what you strive for, if you're around people that are successful and you are this positive energy person, they're going to be like, hey, we have an extra ticket to the, you know, Giants Jets game. Do you want to come with? We got a super box. Yeah. Sounds great. And you find yourself in that like Jim Carrey, yes, man, kind of life. And that has happened to me on a number of occasions just because of, you know, and I wouldn't say I walk around and be like, hey, how you doing? Like super positive. Right. But
let's drink eight Red Bulls.
Yeah. But I'm conscious of it. You know, like when I have to put my game face on, I put my game face on and I go and, you know, you work the room and that's what you do. You try not to be too big for your britches and just smile and say, hey, I love your work. It's really great. Blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah. You know, being honest, being true to yourself. I think most of us can pick up pretty quickly if somebody isn't being themselves or they're not being honest. And, you know, guys, if you're not sure the kind of energy you're putting out, ask someone close to you, you know, someone that'll be brutally honest with you and ask them, hey, when we hang out, do you get this vibe that I'm, you know, being negative or, you know, that I don't want to be around you? You can ask them that.
You never know. You never know.
You never know. So, Mike, I just want to talk one more thing on mentorship. You know, because, you know, you mentor thousands of people every day through the Solopreneur Hour. So what would be like the most gratifying moment that you ever experienced mentoring someone?
I think I had a listener that wrote into the show, Karen, and she had a debilitating nerve, syndrome, disease, whatever it is. And so she could barely use her hands.
Wow.
And she wrote into... the show. I do these Q&A shows on Fridays. And she wrote in and she, you know, just said, you know, I really want to do this. I have a really hard time. Do you have any suggestions for me? And her idea was a little scattered. And I knew that I could help her. And I said, on the show, I said, hey, Karen, guess what? If you write to me, I will gift you a free quarter of Sololab, which is like $500. And so she did, and we launched a killer brand and podcast.
That's awesome.
For her. And the show is called We Turned Out Okay, a Modern Parent's Guide to Old School Parenting. And it's a great, great show, and she's a great interviewer and has a lot of amazing energy. And, you know, if anybody's a parent, like right now, right, in the 21st century, where everybody wants to put on like antibacterial, you know, stuff and kids can't drink from the hose and, you know.
Right. And everybody wins.
Right. And everybody wins. This is a show that you could listen to maybe get a leg up on the rest of your friends that are going to be raising these like entitled, awful kids. So you, yeah. So it's a really cool show and I really like her. So I think that's probably the biggest win that I can think of off the top of my head. I think there's been a few, but that's the one that really sticks out for me.
Oh, man, that's awesome. What's a book that you can recommend to us today?
I have six books. So actually seven, because I've just added a seventh to them. They're called The Sexy Seven.
I love it.
Now, they were the books that literally pulled me out. I shouldn't say literally because that's the wrong word. But they pulled me out of this depression and really got me on the path to doing what I'm doing today. So in order, you have to read them in this particular order because they all build on the next. Book number one is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Michael, or Guy Kawasaki? No, I'm getting my guys mixed up. Anyway,
it is a guy. I know. Yes, I know.
Yeah, it's Guy Kawasaki, right? No, it's, wow, how am I blanking on this? I've only said it a billion times on a billion shows. Anyway, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then Cashflow Quadrant. So those are the first two. Book three is The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Book four is maybe the most important of the bunch, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. That one is really something else. Book number five is called Strengths Finder 2.0 by Tom Rath. Strengths Finder 2.0 by Tom Rath. Book number six is Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. And book number seven is called Zag by Marty Neumeier. Zag by Marty Neumeier. And
awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
I love how you also said that you had to read them in order.
They have to be in order because they really do build on each other. You'll understand. If you kind of read them out of order, you won't get why someone's suggesting, yeah, we'll do this thing with passive income. You're like, wait, what's passive income? And what do you mean by that? And so if you read it in the right way, you'll really understand them. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you guys, if you do that, if like for the next 10 days, you just went to Amazon, you grabbed the books or got them on audio. You can't get StrengthsFinder 2.0 on audio because it's a test you have to take online. But if you spent the next 10 days doing that, and that was the thing you committed to, like by the end of October or by the end of whatever month it is now when you hear this, I'm going to read these seven books. I will tell you that you will open up the same front door you've had for however long you've had it, but the landscape you see will be completely different if you read these books.
Mike, I've been so inspired by you. You know, the value that you provide for entrepreneurs and really solopreneurs, you know, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your personal stories.
Yeah, it's been a blast, man. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Mike, the audience is well aware they can get everything that we mentioned by going to positivityeffect.com and also just going to the podcast tab and they can enter your name in the search bar. So thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time, your stories, your energy. I think I could say, and I believe the listeners can say it as well, we've been empowered by your positivity. Mike, be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday, I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners, just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care. And talk to you next Monday.